join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is I Feel Your Pain by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
We started a series last week, which I entitled, I Feel Your Pain. Let's go to the foundational scripture from Romans, the 12th chapter, Romans 12 and verse 15. And it says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. The Amplified says, rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy. Weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this opportunity again to share your word. To those who are watching live right now, those who will watch a replay on YouTube and Facebook, and those who will share even with others. Father, your word is powerful. It's mighty. It breaks chains. It goes through barriers. It unites people. It corrects our thinking. It massages our hearts and our minds and our souls so that we can operate the way you want us to operate in the earth. Now, Father, I ask that you'd let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. That I negotiate and navigate through every issue, every care, every dilemma that we're facing in our lives individually, that we're facing in our communities, that we're facing in this world. And we declare that the word of God will be published, and great is the peace of those who publish it. In Jesus' name, amen. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And from that subject, from that scripture, we're speaking on this, continuing with the subject, I feel your pain. I feel your pain. IFYP. When that expression dates back to the 1992 presidential campaign between George Bush, incumbent, and presidential candidate Bill Clinton, when he had a heckler who was yelling and complaining about how bad things were and what he was going to do about it. And he yelled out, I feel your pain. I want to let you know that we serve a God who feels our pain. IFYP, which also means that it means to compassionately understand what one is going through. It means that there may have been some times that I've undergone the same thing or something similar. I identify with your trouble. I identify with your dilemma. I feel your pain. And if I don't identify, I want to just be quiet and listen a little bit closer so I can get a better understanding of who you are. I feel your pain is an expression of empathy. And empathy is the capacity to understand or feel what another person is experiencing from within their frame of reference. That is the capacity to place oneself in another's position. And so God even told his people, he said, I always want you to remember where you came from and remember how you were treated, so you can also make sure that you don't mistreat others. And the only way that Christians really can live out the life of Christ and represent Christ in the earth is to feel the pain of others. Jesus, of all things that they could have called him, they call him a friend of sinners. Imagine that he could be a friend of sinners. And the Bible says the reason why he could do that, because Hebrews 4:15 reminds us that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now that's very poetic writing. And the way we would simply say it today is that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And that word infirmities there, it means our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our human inadequacies. And, you know, sometimes people, you know, you can get to a place that you're always looking down on people and they ought to do this and they ought to do that. I said this week, I was talking this week to my pastors on staff, and then I happened to be talking to one of other ministers, and I was saying, you know, there are some people who get so frustrated with people. By now you ought to. You ought to this and you ought to that. And we want to deal with people from the perspective of where they ought to be. You can't help people from where they ought to be. You got to help people from where they are. It gets frustrating. Jesus, they said, Jesus, can you explain this parable to us? Jesus said, as long as I've been with you, you don't understand this parable. He said, if you don't understand this parable, how shall you not understand any parable? And then he went on to explain the parable. How long has I been with you? How is it you have no faith? Then he went on and calmed the storm. It can get frustrating to us to deal with, to see when people have spiritual delay. Paul writes and he says, by now I ought to be able to give you meat. He said, but you have become as babes again. You have need to be fed with milk again. But what did he do? He didn't say, I'm not going to feed you. He went on and fed the milk. In order to help people, we have to deal with people where they are, not where we want them to be or where we think they should be. And that's how God deals with us, because we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He sees our weaknesses. But the Bible says he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And for that reason, Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That Message translation, that verse says, we don't have a high priest who's out of touch with our reality. Some people get out of touch with people's reality. Say, he's been through weakness and testing. He experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. So you don't have to do as what I say. You don't have to go creep into the throne. You can come boldly to God. Say, I need your help. Yes, me again. Okay? You know, come on. Y'all know there's people. We got relatives, including me. Okay? Who if somebody keep asking you the same thing. Okay? Now listen. Now, this is my last time. I ain't dealing with this anymore. And yet, God says he's touched with feelings about infirmity. And we can come right up to him boldly and ask for the help that we need. But it's hard to extend grace and mercy if you don't feel the pain and sympathize and empathize with other people's situation. Isaiah 53:3 told us that he is despised and rejected of men, but he was a man of sorrows, acquainted, identifying, understanding our grief. He's acquainted with grief. You know, sometimes, you know, if some of you, I mean, it's a one, and I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, but some of us, we've never lost or had the transition of someone who is close to us, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a child. And if you don't, you've never had the feelings of grief that you got to give to God, he has to help you through those sorrows, it may look like somebody doing the most. But Jesus is acquainted with grief. And when you're not acquainted with grief, it's hard to feel other people's pain. Are y'all listening to me here? So Jesus comes to the grave of Lazarus. And he weeps at the grave of Lazarus. He wept. When you study it, he wailed. Because that's what weeping was. And such to the degree that when the other people saw that he was weeping, they said, oh, how he loved him. Oh, this person must have been really close to him. He really loved him because they saw Jesus weep. And Jesus weep understanding that in this moment I'm weeping, but in the next moment I'm going to resurrect him. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Jesus knew he was going to raise him up, and then he weep. Why? Because he identified with the pain of others. And the Bible said one of the reasons why he was weeping is because when he saw Mary and Martha weeping, and the Jews also weeping with came with her, he identified with their pain. And sometimes you got to stop and just be present in the moment. I'm talking to us faith people now. Well, you know God going to take you through. I know he's going to take me through in a moment, though I'm in it. I know I'm going to come out. But right now, I'm in it. And sometimes we use our faith to beat up people and condemn people. Well, you ought to identify where they are, not where they ought to be right now. You can't help people from where they ought to be. You help people where they are. If I've fallen out the boat and I'm in the middle of the water because I jumped out, thought I was just going to have a swim, and then I realized that the currents is too much for you telling me, well, you ought to stay in the boat. That's not going to help me right now. I'm drowning. Help me from where I am, not from where I should have been. Oh, y'all, come on. If you don't get anything else, get that today, because that's how we're going to help people. That's how you get people saved. Well, my goodness, if you never drank that liquor, you wouldn't have cirrhosis of the liver. But my God, Jesus can heal cirrhosis of the liver. If you didn't live like that, you wouldn't have all these children. I have them. They need to eat. Can identify and help people from where they ought to be. We help people from where they are. And Jesus identified with their pain, and he wept. And then he raised them up. Glory to God. And so let's move on this week, because as I go on to this part two of this today, I want you to understand that too many people today only think of themselves. They only rejoice about their successes. And they only rejoice or only weep about their losses. If I'm happy, I'm happy. If I'm sad, I'm sad. It's about me and mine. I rejoice about my success, but I can't rejoice about anybody else's success. I weep about my losses, but I can't weep with anybody else's losses. You ever have a so-called friend that every time you go to tell them something you're going through, they try to top you? Even if it's a negative thing. Man, I burned my hand right here yesterday when I was cooking. You talking about a burn? Let me show you what happened to me. Wait, hold up. Can we deal with my pain? You know, I'm going through something. Child, that ain't nothing compared to what I went through. And sometimes people, they only think of themselves. You can't even talk to them. Whoo! About what you're going through. And the more we realize how much grace and mercy that God has given us through Jesus, the more that we should be willing to help people and feel somebody else's pain. The more we realize how much grace and mercy has been extended to us, the more we should feel and identify with the inadequacies and shortcomings of other people. Let's look at Luke 7, 39 through 47. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Luke 7, 39 through 47. It says, and when the Pharisee had invited him, that's Jesus, he saw this. And what they saw was a woman getting down on her knees, wiping Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears, and another place pouring an alabaster box over him of precious ointment. And they saw she came in to the party or to this gathering, and she goes up to Jesus and she's weeping and she's crying. She's washing his feet with her hair, and she's doing the most. He said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he really a man of God, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Isn't there something to call somebody a sinner and don't realize you one? She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered, oh, I love this. I never saw it. New Living Translation. Jesus answered his thoughts. Oh, I didn't say it. I was just thinking it. God will respond to your thoughts. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon. He didn't even answer him directly. He said, Peter, Simon. He said to the Pharisee, he said, I have something to say to you. He said, go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him the story. He said, now, a man loaned money to two people. Okay? 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave both of them. He canceled their debt. Equal bohosha. There it is right there. Debt cancellation. I've got my word today. He canceled their debts. He said, who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. Jesus responds, that's right. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, now look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, now he's talking to this Pharisee now. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, which is a common thing for anybody of class. He said, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped my feet with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time that I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. Verse 47, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. Now, what is worse and what is better? Is it better to have a lot of sin that has been forgiven or little sin that's unforgiven? He said, yeah, she had a lot of sin, but she's forgiven. You're still walking in yours. And the biggest one you got, Mr. Pharisees, is self-righteousness. The biggest sin you got, Mr. Pharisee, is pride that caused you to look down on a man. And the old song of the church said, don't look down on a man unless you're picking him up. Oh, y'all don't know nothing about that. Don't look down on a man unless you're picking him up. Jesus said, I tell you, her sins, though they are many, they have been forgiven. She has shown me much love. She's shown me much love. But a person who's forgiven little shows only little love. Jesus is saying, if you realize how much God has done for you, you would do the most. He said, but the reason why you can't identify with this woman's pain is because you feel you're above her. The reason why you can't identify with this woman, because you feel that your sin some kind of way is deserving of less heat in the flames than her sin. You're ranking and you're evaluating and you're prioritizing sin. But sin is sin no matter who is in. We celebrated the 4th of July, or what has traditionally been called Independence Day. And I want to work this into this message here, into this I Feel Your Pain, because part of the impetus for this message is seeing all the protests and the social injustice and people demanding responses and change. A lot of people, they just say, what is this all about? Just a bunch of people making noise. Just people not satisfied. And it's also usually from people who simply cannot feel the pain. On this day, July 5th, 1852, Frederick Douglass, who was most likely a distant relative of mine, seriously, his name was Bailey when he escaped from slavery, and then he changed his name. I don't know if there's any relation, but in the same area of the country there. But Frederick Douglass, formerly Frederick Bailey, he was invited to speak for a Independence Day celebration. And when he was invited to speak at this Independence Day celebration, even though he was speaking to abolitionists, which was primarily his audience, If you have the opportunity, go home today, Google it. Read the whole speech. I'm going to give some excerpts of it. But in one place he said, "Do you mean to mock me by inviting me to come to give my oration at this celebration? Is this a joke?" But among the things he said, he says, "The papers and placards say that I am to deliver a 4th of July oration. It's the birthday of your national independence and of your political freedom." And this is not in order. I've taken excerpts out. He said, "Fellow citizens, I am not wanting in respect for the fathers of this republic. They were peacemen, but they preferred revolution to peaceful submission to bondage. With them, nothing was settled that was not right. With them, justice, liberty, and humanity were final, not slavery and oppression. You may well cherish the memory of such men." He says, among other things, I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. This is in the midst of slavery. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. To drag a man into fetters, into the grand illuminated temple of liberty, and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems is inhumane mockery. Can you all imagine the faces of these people? We're inviting you to come speak. And this is what you want to say to us? Frederick Douglass took July 5th, 1852, which is still in the throes of slavery, which is still before the Civil War was even fought. And Frederick Douglass took this day to say, in the midst of your celebration, I need you to feel my pain. In the midst of your rejoicing, I need you to understand why I'm still weeping. In the midst of your celebration of freedom, I need you to understand that me and my people are still in bondage. In the midst of your celebration of justice and liberty for all, realize you haven't given it to everybody. Feel my pain. He was trying to raise the consciousness of people to say, why are you celebrating? You need to understand why everybody can't celebrate with you on this occasion. Jesus also raised the consciousness of the people who had received favor but did not empathize or sympathize with others enough to feel their pain. He tells a story in Matthew 18, 23 through 25. Again, I'm using the New Living Translation. Matthew 18, 23 through 25. He said, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me. God is not through.'" I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. I got carried away. He said, "Please be patient with me and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity or compassion for him, and he released him and he forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand. Now, he owed millions. Somebody owed him a few thousand. He grabbed the man by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. He tried to sing the same song. Please be patient. He said, shut up. Been patient long enough. He said, please be patient with me and I will pay you. And he put, but his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. And when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. Then went to the king. They went to the king and told him everything that happened. And the king called in the man who he had forgiven millions of dollars and said, you evil servant. I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you, here's the answer, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Why couldn't you feel that man's pain? You felt your own pain.
If there's one thing that is needed in America today more than ever, it's empathy. We should be able to feel someone else's pain, even if it's not our experience. In this timely series, Bishop Herbert Bailey helps us to understand that as believers, we need to be able to feel the pain of those around us, even if it doesn't affect us. To order, please call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info. Ask for I Feel Your Pain. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.